Hi everyone, welcome to part number 15 of the Our Covenant God study. First, for last week's homework. Homework question number 1 was an intimate time of fellowship between you and God. So we're not going to revise that question. But homework question number 2 said, who and what did God not give mankind dominion or rulership over? The answer to that is that God did not give mankind dominion or rulership, number 1, to dominate over other people, and number 2, over the heavenly realms. So, what are the implications of God not giving us dominion over the heavenly realms? Well, in a nutshell, that means I cannot command angels because they are outside of my realm of dominion. In fact, Psalm 91 verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." And if we look at that, we notice it is God who gives his angels the orders. People don't order angels around. It is not up to us to speak to angels or to instruct angels. We speak to God, and God then answers our prayers. And it's up to him how he does what he does. Amen? That also means that I don't have the authority to speak to demonic powers in the heavenly realms and to command them to come down to earth or anything else like that. In fact, you don't want them to come down to earth. So, I don't have authority in that realm, so I don't even touch that realm. I speak to God. God has all the authority. Amen? Homework question number 3. As you consider each of the other 4 cruel masters, being debt, money, fear, and the law of Moses, how can each of these be turned from a master into a servant? Well, the first one, debt. The key to overcoming debt is forgiveness. It's 2-part forgiveness. We have to receive forgiveness from our master, who is God, and we have to give forgiveness to others. This is not about money at all. Many things can be owed to us besides money. A parent may owe you love. A friend may owe you devotion. A colleague may owe you respect. Forgiveness is writing off all the debts that you owed and owing no man anything. Forgiveness can then become your servant because it can heal another person and open them up to receive you and the Word of God. Money. Money makes an excellent servant, but a terrible master. To rule over money, one must use it wisely, one must invest it, and recognize that it all belongs to God anyway. You are simply a steward of what belongs to God. Money can certainly be used to God's glory and to advance his kingdom and spread the good news. Another way to manage money is to give it away. If God says give it, you give it. It's a tool, something that we can use. The third one is fear. Romans 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father," that is Daddy God. The antidote to fear is an intimate relationship with our personal Father God. Know that he is your loving Father and he will take care of you because he loves you. He loves you. The fourth one was the law of Moses. The law of Moses is not at all evil. The problem with it is the fact that it condemns us all because we've all broken at least part of the law. We master it by not living lawlessly, but refusing to live under judgment, because we recognize that in Christ our sins have already been judged and forgiven. Thus, we are free to live, not in sin or under the law. because Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly, overflowing. And one day our lives will be the gifts that we give our King Jesus. And so we are free to live free. Amen. Now for today's lesson. For 3 weeks we have discussed what happened on the Mount of Moriah when Abraham offered Isaac up as a living sacrifice to God. Now, at the end of Genesis 22, Nahor's 12 sons are listed. Nahor was Abraham's brother. His sons were Haz, Buz, Kemuel, Hesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlap, Bethuel, Teba, Gaham, Thahash, and Makah. Bethuel was the father of Rebekah. Now, this paragraph serves two main purposes. Firstly, it introduces us to Rebekah. And secondly, it reveals a pattern. That pattern is the pattern of 12. There are 12 sons. We have seen the pattern of 12 before. In Genesis 17 verse 20, God promised Abraham that Ishmael would have 12 sons and that they would be princes. This is exactly what happened. Ishmael's 12 sons are listed in Genesis 25 verse 13 to 14. Then, in Genesis 35, verse 22 to 26, we find that Abraham's grandson, that's Jacob, who is also called Israel, had 12 sons. The 12 tribes of Israel came from these 12 sons of Jacob. Jesus had 12 disciples. The woman in Revelation 12, who gives birth to a boy child, has a garland of 12 stars on her head. The woman is Israel, the boy child is Jesus, and the 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel. In Revelation 21, the heavenly city of Jerusalem has 12 gates with 12 angels at the 12 gates, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel are written on them. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, bearing the names of Jesus' 12 apostles. The city's measurements are 12,000 furlongs cubed. The tree of life bears 12 fruits. Multiples of 12 are important too. In Genesis 6 verse 3, we see that God shortened mankind's lifespan to 120. That's 12 times 10 years. Moses died at exactly 120 years of age. There were about 120 people in the upper room in Acts 1 who received the Holy Spirit. There were 24, that's 12 times 2, divisions of priests in 1 Chronicles 24 verse 4. In Revelations 4 we find 24 thrones around the throne of God and 24 elders who worship God. 72, that's 12 times 6. Elders were given a portion of God's Spirit that rested on Moses, and they prophesied in Numbers 11 verse 24 to 26.